Testing 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers, and of course we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But please hold your calls for the time being, because we have with us on the line right now Don Wiskin, and he's going to tell us a little bit about the product that he actually distributes in Canada. Here in the United States, it's called Carnivite. Hi, Don. How are you doing?
I'm very well, Dr. Stan. How are you doing?
I'm doing just fine. And, of course, why don't you tell our listeners just a little bit about this product, because you certainly are enthusiastic about it. We've heard some of the people that you've been giving this to, been using it for some time, who seem to share your enthusiasm for it.
Well, they should. I mean, it is really something special. It's really amazing how something so simple can really do what it's doing. I'm not really allowed to say what it's doing, because then the food would no longer be a food. It would be considered something else. But basically, it's a seven-herb combination made by a licensed pharmacist that contains cayenne, garlic, hawthorn, valerian, milk thistle, ginkgo biloba, and bilberry. And you can get it in either capsule or tincture form. If you take it in the tincture, it's 15 drops three times a day underneath your tongue. And in the capsules, it's three capsules per day with your meal. So you take one cap with every meal. The reason we say you have to take it with a meal is we have such a high allicin content, which is the active ingredient in garlic. And we also have a little cayenne in there, which has long been regarded by naturopathic doctors as a powerful heart and circulation tonic, which can inhibit platelet aggregation and improve blood flow, sometimes with immediate results in some people. But these herbs can cause people a little bit of a cayenne flush, or the repeat of the garlic in the capsule form. In the liquid, we've had no problems at all. The liquid is the way I take it. And I've been taking the liquid myself now for, I'd say I'm getting close to 6 or 6.5 years.
All right. Of course, we know that hawthorn is very beneficial, and certainly garlic has a lot of various functions. Medicinal seems to help as far as infections are concerned and the immune system. But, of course, it also tends to thin the blood, which is a good thing to have.
Yes. Actually, the ginkgo and the garlic are both natural blood thinners in the Carnivite. So, If anybody is considering taking Carnivite and they're on blood thinners, they can take this a couple hours afterwards, or actually we've had no real interaction. So, it really helps to keep your blood thin, and thin blood is what we want for flowing through our arteries.
Well, this is a product that's available both in Canada and the United States. And, there comes the music. But anyway, we'll be talking more about this when we get back. Our guest this evening, Don Wiskin, and Chris Don's been with us for some time. He does help us here at Radio Liberty. But it's been fascinating talking to the pharmacists that can put this together. And, of course, Don can attest at least to his own personal success. And apparently he's got a lot of happy people across the country using this. We'll be back in just a moment with Don, and we'll be talking about Carnivite. And, of course, if you'd like to give us a call, our number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. Don will be with us the first half hour, and then we'll have open lines here at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Don Wiskin. We're talking about Carnivite and the various things that are in this that really do seem to thin the blood. But why don't you tell your story about what happened to you when you used this? Because you'd had a heart attack, hadn't you?
Actually, I did. Did you not get the medical record?
Yes, as a matter of fact, I did. But not that I know what I know, but it's what the audience knows.
Well, that's right. And basically what happened was, my father passed away in 1994. He was 62 years old. He had had bypass surgery a few years before, and unfortunately he got tainted blood, so he did not really have a chance to survive. In 97, in July, my brother Wayne was 44 years old. We found him dead in his apartment. He had had a massive heart attack, and no one was around to encourage him to go to the hospital. Then in January of 98, my mother had a stroke while she was in bed. No one was there except my nephew. He was out shoveling snow, and he was only 17 or 18, so he didn't really pay much attention, even when she needed a hand to get back in bed. Then my brother showed up for the funeral, my oldest brother, Doug. I hadn't seen him since 1989. This was in January of 98. He was 53 years old, and I looked at him and said, "Doug, you're really looking good, you know, for 53. And he looks at me and says, "You can't believe how I feel inside." 21 days later, he had a massive heart attack, and we buried him. Then in June of 98, all within less than a year, I was found on the floor by my wife at home. I had had a massive heart attack, and by the time we got to the hospital, the doctors told my wife to go home, prepare for the worst, because we don't think he's going to survive the night. I did happen to have a streptokinase-based thermobolic agent. That's an awful big word for a drug, but that drug saved my life that night. That's what reactive medicine is all about, catching you in the last few minutes of your life and hopefully extending it a bit.
Now that, of course, I think is one of these products that actually dissolves the clot, isn't it?
Yes, it can either save you or cause hundreds of small strokes and you bleed to death. In my case, it saved me. And I was very, very fortunate because I woke up 2 days later. I had already had an angiogram and an echocardiogram during that time. They knew that I had 95% blockage in one artery and over 75% in the rest, and they were ready to do an angioplasty on me. But when I finally woke up the 2 days later, I checked myself out of the hospital in denial of even having had something wrong, because I was a self-employed roofing contractor, and I had all these people working for me, and I really had to think about them, well, so I thought, only to have another heart attack on the 17th of June and wind up...
Hold that thought right there. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest this evening is Don Wiskin, and from Cardiovite, and basically he's telling the story of his own heart attack here. And what happened, of course, he goes into the hospital, and no question he has a major heart attack. And being like most men, he was uncooperative, and even though the doctors wanted to keep him in the hospital and do an angioplasty on him, because he did have several blocked arteries, why, he chucked himself out of the hospital. And then what happened?
Well, I went home, and I started to try and get back into my own life, realizing that, you know, I had done something very wrong. Then on the 17th, which I checked out of the hospital on the 11th, so 6 days later I had another heart attack, and this time when I went back in the hospital, I was much more willing to conform and do whatever they wanted me to do, even to the point of having the nuclear medicine test for the MRI, and any test that they wanted to do, I was willing, because I was taking nitroglycerin to morphine just about every day from the angina that I was having from it. So it was a blessing to have gone through and had the angioplasty and not have had to have gone any further with that, and then to have come out of there and just a matter of 6 or 7 months later finding out about these garlic cayenne drops and then starting to take them with no real knowledge of what I was doing or even if it was going to work, but the people that had told me about it, you know, were as enthusiastic as I am now.
Well, I think it's important that our listeners know that you had severe heart muscle damage, and going along with that, of course, you had a very, very poor ejection function, so your heart was not working well because it actually had been damaged. It was not simply angina, which is transient ischemia, but there was actually damage to the myocardium. That's a fair statement, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. 35% of my heart was damaged. And my ejection fraction was down to about 38%, where the normal is 65 to 70. I had no upper body strength at all. I mean, being a roofing contractor, that was a real downfall, because I couldn't even pick up a bundle of shingles. It was pretty grim looking, you know, but sometimes it takes a grim look or a disease or a health challenge to actually wake you up and make you see the light of day and decide that there was more to life than fast food and whatever you're doing. I wound up changing my whole diet, changing my life, adding the garlic cayenne supplements, and before you know it, I was feeling pretty darn good.
And of course, you went back in and you had the new ejection analysis, and it was markedly improved. Just
oh yes, I basically went back in to have a regular checkup, and my doctor, my GP, wanted me to sign the disability papers and go on disability, and I had said to her I felt pretty good, and so that was the result of the test where they could not find anything wrong with me. The lady doing the stress test, even though on the paper that you see in front of you, it says that I was tired and that's why we stopped, but actually at 14 minutes I started to jog on the treadmill, and I think that upset her. And she told me that I was in 110% better shape than the average man my age and to get the heck out of there. Then I noticed on the paper she wrote down on there that I tired out. Well, I was jogging, Dr. Stan. I don't know why she wrote down that I was tired.
Well, you know, we had here in town where I live just this last couple of days, a 41-year-old doctor, the physician, oncologist, cancer specialist, suddenly just dies of a heart attack. Perfect help, and it works out, good shape, and, you know, just 41 years old, dead. And we're seeing an increasing incidence of myocardial damage, myocardial infarction, and sudden cardiac death. Much more so than we have in years past. We don't have all the answers for that as to why this is happening, but it certainly is a factor, and certainly people should do everything they possibly can to try to protect themselves. And, of course, I believe really that there's a great deal to be said for these various herbs and various medications that seem to have a very definite physiological effect. Now, our telephone number, if you have a question for Don, is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. And our guest is Don Wiskin. His product is Cardivite. That's Cardivite and capsules, liquid. And certainly it's being utilized really fairly widely, isn't it, both in Canada and the United States?
Actually, it's very widely, and we're starting to slide into a few other countries, too. Word of mouth really seems to spread a product like this. If somebody takes it and notices benefits or starts feeling more like they should, then they tell their friends, and that's what's really good about it.
Well, I think it's an amazing thing. Of course, I know that you actually are on American Freedom Network. I hear your advertisements there. And then you're on the Genesis Network, and I hear your advertisements on my program in the afternoon. And then, of course, you're helping us here at Radio Liberty on our evening program. So, now, the pharmacist who put this together, how did he come up with this specific group of various herbs?
Well, you know, Sam was trained in Germany where natural medicines are over 40% of doctor-prescribed medicines. So, you know, if you go to a doctor there, they try to prescribe a natural medicine to you first. If it doesn't work, then they take you on to the allopathic to see if there can be any improvements there. So Sam had studied there and worked with the natural medicines. When he came to Canada in 68, 69 area, he was quite shocked, actually, not to find natural medicines in the pharmacies and that, you know, pharmacists weren't trained in that. So when the Chelation Association approached him in Alberta, because he was making their EDTA formula for them and some of their suppositories,
now, for listeners, EDTA is a product that you use for chelation, and supposedly it dissolves the plaque and the calcium in the plaque within the arteries, and actually then opens up the arteries. So, okay, he was making the EDTA for the Chelation Association, and did they ask him to put together this product?
Yeah, they asked him if he could come up with something that would help the members. Chelation doesn't work for everybody. So for those people that it wasn't working for, and for the senior members who really didn't have a lot of money to afford a lot of the chelation, they asked if there was something Sam could come up with. Well, Sam just went to the German drug compendium, and he knew which herbs to start picking on, but he went through the compendium and took what he felt would work together well, and that's when he came up with the seven herbs here. He made it in his own pharmacy in the back because he was compounding a lot of natural products there for the people in Edmonton. And he just kept working on it, and he gave it to the Alberta Chelation Association. They really did well with it. They praised it up, and that's how I heard about it. I was in British Columbia, just a 12-hour drive away, And when I started taking it, it was something that I wasn't sure whether it would do or anything or not, but I just felt that something this simple has to work.
Well, I think that sometimes, simplest things are the best things if possible.
Well, yeah, when you get right down to it, I mean, there's a lot of products on the market, and, you know, a really good product on the market works for about 60% of the people who use it. But we've found over the last 6 or so years that we've been working with Cartabyte that it seems to work for over 90% of the people that take it. And it's really hard to believe that, you know, the people really get these benefits from Cartabyte unless you actually see it happen to a friend or a loved one.
Now, are you really getting that many of the people who've tried it to continue taking it? Or what percentage of the people who actually try it do continue?
I would say that most of the people, well, what we do is we offer people a 4-month special in order to get them to stay on the product for a while because, you know, a natural product like this, I like to say that 10% of the people taking Cartabyte 3 times every day benefit from it in the first month. 20% of these people notice benefits after 2 months, and over 60% notice benefits after 4 months. So if someone was to actually take Cartabyte every day for 4 months on that 4-month supply that they bought, they will pick up the phone and they will order the product again.
Well, of course, that's the best advertising is the people who want to keep coming back and getting it again. Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. Why don't you get your telephone number and or your website out there so our listeners would know how to get it?
Well, great. I will give up my website, which is www.heartdrop.com. That's heartdrop.com. And our toll-free number is 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. You can call to either order a Cartabyte, or you can ask us some questions, or you can even get some information mailed to you if you'd like to know a little more before you venture into this. But truthfully, Dr. Stan, for less than a cup of Starbucks coffee a day, people can actually turn their life around.
All right, fine. And that's, of course, heartdrop.com if you'd like to go there. And what will they find out if they get on your website?
Well, there is some stories there for that people have allowed us to post on our website. There's a couple of half-hour-long conversations, one with a naturopathic doctor and one with a industrial chemist. There's some information about Sam, the pharmacist. There's all the listings on the herbs in there and a brief description as to what these herbs are really intended for originally. And you can also order it off of the Internet, too. It's a full-service website, but it's basically there just to give you some basic information, and then hopefully from there you'll see the light and you will start to take the product. And, you know, even if you think you're healthy now, you'll be surprised. I mean, I just turned 50 in June, Dr. Stan, and I think I feel more like 30 than I did when I was in my 40s.
Well, certainly you you must be working full-time, because every time I try to get you during the day, you're up there on a roof someplace, and that's pretty tough work, being a roofing contractor. Well, my telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. If you have a question, don't hesitate to give us a call. And, you know, this is a fascinating product, and certainly what we've heard people, and we've actually heard some of the conversations with the people who've used it, and they seem to be pretty well taken with it. So give us a call here at 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295 if you have a question or comment. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and our guest this evening, Don Wiskin. The product he's talking about is Cartabyte. It's Kardovite, isn't it? Kardovite?
Yeah, K-A-R-D. Actually, Stan came up with the name because in German, all circulation drugs start with a K. Kresselhoff is circulation, so the K, and then we wanted to have cardo there, but we didn't want cardio, so we dropped the I, so it's K-A-R-D-O. And then Sam believes in things like life, V-I-T-E, cardovite, is Vita is Latin for life. So no, it's circulation for life.
Well, that's an interesting concept. The German K here in America, it's C, but it doesn't really matter. It's not the name as much, but certainly heart and heart for life. So that's an interesting concept. Well, again, let's see. Somebody's calling in here. Let's see what we get. We've got Ben calling from Yakima, Washington. Hi, Ben. How are you doing?
Pretty good.
Have any questions?
Yeah, actually, I do have a question.
All right,
I'm wondering. I was listening to, I think it was one of your shows here a while back, about CAFTA and how it would interfere with something like buying a simple of vitamin C.
Yeah, they're going to make it very, very difficult for us if they can get this thing through. Yes,
yeah,
this would bring in something called the Codex Alimentarius, and a group of bureaucrats somewhere in the world would sit down together and determine how much they could, for instance, vitamin C or vitamin D, they could put in the capsule, and this is being supported by a lot of the, even the product people who produce the vitamins, because they figure they're going to be able to sell a lot more and make a lot more money, but of course it's going to cost us a great deal more. You're going to have to be taking four or five pills when they could put just exactly as much in one capsule, and it's all being done, I believe, to discourage the use of the natural products which help people. Do you have any thoughts at all on that, Don?
Yes, I believe that this has been going on for about 13 or 14 years, and they've lost and they've won and they've lost and they've won. This time it looks like they've got a stronger hold on it than ever. Monsanto, the big drug company, is behind it, who comes up with a lot of the GM foods because they want to use these GM products in there. But if your question is, will that affect the availability of Cartavite?
Exactly.
I'm hoping not, because Sam is a pharmacist, and he makes it under the label Nutrition Plus Products, which basically is a pharmaceutical company. So maybe, just maybe, we'll be able to stay our head above the water with it.
But I share your concern about this, Ben. I think this is a very dangerous thing, and that is why I hope you and every one of our listeners are calling their congressman and emailing their congressman and faxing their congressman and demanding that they vote no on CAFTA, because this is hidden in the thousand pages of CAFTA. And, of course, this is not why I would necessarily tell the congressman, that to vote against it. But this is something that everybody is concerned about. The availability of healthcare products should be concerned about. Not only that, but they're lying when they say CAFTA is going to help us. Just like they said that NAFTA was going to help us. So the World Trade Organization was going to help us. And look what's happened to the manufacturing here in the United States. Back during the Second World War, 50% of our GDP was manufacturing. Today it's 10%, and it's on the way down. So we need to stop CAFTA, and one very good reason is because of the Codex Alimentarius and really the fact that it will sorely restrict our ability to get health food products. Anything
else? That
was
my question, guys.
Okay.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
God bless. Thanks so very much. And again, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, and we'll be right back here. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this evening is Don Wiskin, and we're talking about the Cartavite, and our telephone number, if you'd like to give us a call, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. And while you were having to listen to the advertisements on the station you're listening to, why we had a caller who was asking about CAFTA and Codex Alimentarius and whether this would interfere with the availability of Don's product. Don doesn't think so, but heaven only knows what the government is going to do. And the real purpose behind so much of this legislation, is to restrict our access to the products that will keep us healthy so that they can sell us the products like Vioxx and like Bextra and so many of the other things, the statin drugs that they have on the market now, that I personally believe are doing a lot more harm than good. So, Don, what about doctors? Are doctors using this product very much?
Well, there's a lot of doctors out there who really, truly want to help people, and they know that what they're doing isn't always 100%. So they've had a look at it. My own personal GP has jumped all over it. He was very, very impressed with my medical records. I was in another province when I had my heart attack, but he was the doctor that helped bury the rest of my family. and he knew darn well that, you know, something is amiss in the system because they're all dying, and so he decided he'd like to try Cardivite. Even my general practitioner in British Columbia got her parents on it right away. But my cardiologist, he put his parents right into the Healthy Heart Program. He wouldn't have anything to do with anything natural, but he had me in one of those study programs on the Altase that I was on, so I'm sure he's making a good living off of making sure that we're all taking the drugs that he believes that we need.
I'm sure he probably does believe it. I mean, having practiced medicine, I think that the doctors really want to do what's right for their patients. But, you know, they're told, oh, you've got to get your patients on the statin drugs, and you've got to give them all the high blood pressure medicine. They've got to do all these things. And, you know, of course, I believe as far as the exercise, that's all very, very fine. But I really, in losing weight, I think is important. But I think these other things are equally important.
It's actually more than that. I mean, right here in Ontario, there's 20 million people. And this year alone, they expect 5,800 people to die from the smog and the pollutants that are in the air, respiratory-type ailments. So, I mean, 6,000 people, basically, out of 20 million. There's 300 million people in America. How many people are you losing every year to smog-related problems that people are having with the chemicals? We just can't get these chemicals out of our body, just like the mercury that everyone talks about from vaccinations. Whereas something like Cardivite can actually, the sulfur contents of the garlic, and it is high potency garlic in here, by the way, this sulfur content can actually help to draw these metals and chemicals out of your body, which in turn allow your body to do the job that it's supposed to do. You know, it is amazing that, well, let's just say the National Institute of Health said that heart disease will kill over 50,000 people this year. This is last year's quote. But if Americans could take control of their health, 435,000 of these people could literally save their own lives each year. So we don't have to have that high of a death rate. We could actually do things to look after ourselves that would help us to save our own lives from being one of those 500,000 people that die a year.
Well, I certainly think that we have to be responsible for ourselves, and I think there are lots of things that you can do to protect your heart and, you know, to keep yourself in good shape. Well, let's go ahead and get your telephone number and your web page out there just one more time.
Great. Our phone number is 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. And our website is www.heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com. And when you call that toll-free number, ask about our four-month special and just see what Cardivite can do for you.
Well, I think that it's a fascinating thing to think of, and if you look at the things, and of course I've been up on the internet looking at the various things in there, and you look up hawthorn and you find out that it's been used for literally hundreds if not thousands of years for the heart. And certainly we know that garlic has been as well. And, of course, when we talked to Sam, who's the pharmacist who put this together, oh, I guess it was last month, why, he went through each one of the products and why each one of them, you know, working with the others, could have a beneficial effect and has a beneficial effect on people with heart disease. So, Don, I want to really appreciate so much your being with us and look forward to, I guess we'll be talking again on one of our other programs later this week.
Well, thank you very much, Dr. Stan. It's nice to have people like yourself really helping us out here.
God bless. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that will determine what the future will bring. Now, right now, we're going to have open lines for the next half hour, and if you're out there, why, give us a call at 1-888-888-8822. 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. I was sitting this evening, as I often do, going through this pile of newspapers we have. And, of course, we read the New York Times, and the Washington Times, and the Wall Street Journal, the weekend edition of the Washington Post. And then we read our local newspaper, and then we read the San Jose Mercury. So we get a pretty good cross-section of what's going on across the country. And certainly it's amazing as you begin reading about the London bombing. And this really is fascinating. And as you see the similarity between the London bombing and the 9-1-1 bombing here in the United States. Now, apparently in Pakistan, that captured some of the Al-Qaeda people who told them that there were going to be bombings in London. So Pakistan, at least according to an article we have in the Wall Street Journal, had repeatedly called the British intelligence to tell them that there was going to be a bombing in London. And what did London do? Well, London immediately lowered the risk of terrorist attack, and so they cut back on anything that they were doing to try to protect themselves. And you go back and you look at what happened before 9-1-1. Certainly we know that all of the other countries, Israel, Germany, Morocco, Jordan, the Soviet Union, and I think two or three other countries had all told the United States there was going to be an attack here in this country, a terrorist attack. What did the government do? Why, they put out a directive that said, no, henceforth, no pilot can carry a weapon on board his plane. Now, why would they do something like that? There were not very many pilots that carried guns, but some of them did. And the directive was put out just 2 months before the attack that no longer could pilots carry a weapon. And then they changed the statute as far as, for instance, carrying on a box cutter knife. Suddenly you could carry them on, you couldn't. And they actually specifically lowered the requirements. We're going to be back here in just a minute, and we'll tell you more of the incredible story. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and we're going to have open lines. If you'd like to give us a call, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Now, the next hour, we're going to have with us Glenn Spencer from the Border Patrol, and he's down there on the border. We'll get us abreast of what's going on and how our leaders are intentionally betraying this country, allowing an invasion because they really anticipate that they will be able to play one group against another. They, of course, are doing everything they can to change the status of America, to convert us into a multicultural, multilingual, divided nation. They know exactly what they're doing. They have sworn an oath to uphold the Constitution, and they don't believe in the Constitution. They believe in globalism. They believe in uniting all the countries of the world. They're looking towards a borderless world, and that's the true reason we're not trying to stop the illegal alien invasion into this country, why we're rewarding the people who are coming into this country, why we're giving them health and welfare benefits and free education and subsidized education, and why police officers, when they pick up an illegal alien, aren't allowed to turn them over to the INS, the Immigration and Naturalization Service. You see, they can't let the American people know the truth. Because if you knew the truth, you'd understand that both political parties are controlled by exactly the same forces. And their agenda is not the preservation of the America that we know and love, but the institution of a new world order and a new world religion. Well, you can give us a call if you have something you'd like to talk about. Otherwise, I was beginning to compare what happened before 9-1-1 and what happened before the recent bombing in London. Again, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. I was pointing out that before the 9-1-1 attack, why the Israelis, the Germans, the Spanish, the Moroccans, the Jordanians, certainly the Israelis and the Russians, and probably a couple of other countries. I think there were 10 or 11 countries that were listed in Inside Magazine. Incidentally, it was a very good magazine, and somebody put pressure on their advertisers not to advertise there, and so they eventually had to go under. Insight Magazine, in my estimation, was the finest really investigative journalism magazine in the country, and it is no longer with us. But they had actually pointed out all of the countries that had actually warned the United States there was going to be an attack. So what did the government do, knowing there was going to be an attack and having had one of the hijackers actually defect to the United States? Oh, didn't you know that? Yes, it was on April 20th of the year 2000. And in fact, in the testimony that Eleanor Hill gave before the Joint Senate House Intelligence Committee on, I think it was the 18th of April, pardon me, the 18th of September 2002. We actually have the testimony. She told about this hijacker who went into the office of the FBI in Newark, New Jersey, and said, "I'm a hijacker. I'm part of a terrorist team that was trained in Pakistan, and there's six or eight of us here, and we've been trained to actually how to hijack a 747 and crash that plane if our demands are not met." And now that's what Eleanor Hill said in her testimony. Elsewhere, if you read Paul Thompson's terror timeline, he will tell you that the hijacker also admitted that they were going to crash them into buildings. But anyway, of course, all we have is Eleanor Hill's testimony, and of course we do have the book Terror Timeline. That will give you the references to the other stories about that report. But isn't it interesting? I'm reading a book now written by Senator Graham, who just happened to have been the co-chairman of that committee. And this goes into really what happened to those committee hearings. And the most amazing thing, he must have forgotten about that. Eleanor Hill's testimony, because he didn't even mention that one of the hijackers that actually defected to the United States over a year beforehand. And instead of trying then to find out the rest of the hijackers, what did the FBI do? Why, of course, they hustled him out of the country and paid for his way, along with a fare of two FBI agents who made sure he went back to London. They wanted to get that terrorist out of the country. Why didn't they try to track down the rest of the terrorists? Well, I think it's pretty obvious. I think they knew exactly who they were. I think we have an extremely efficient intelligence organization that knows who literally all the terrorists are, because they've infiltrated the Muslim movement. Now, we're told, our FBI is just so inadequate. We didn't have any informants. We couldn't get any informants in the Muslim community. Isn't that interesting that two of the hijackers who were told died at 911 were living with an FBI informant in the Muslim community? And we know there were lots of other informants in the Muslim community. But, you see, they have to give the American people the idea that it was just a terrible mistake, a series of terrible mistakes and blunders. Oh, in fact, if you want to read the Mein Kampf for this whole thing, there was a committee, it's called the Bremer Committee. Paul Bremer had a committee that gave a report about a year before 9-1-1, where he gave the whole scenario was going to be used. And the introduction describes what happened at Pearl Harbor. It was just a bumbling intelligence. People were afraid to tell other people what they knew. Nobody wanted to wake anybody up in the middle of the night. Nobody wanted to come up with an alarming report. And it was just the bumbling for Pearl Harbor, and we know that was a lie. How do we know that's a lie? Because I have and I'll be glad to send free of charge to any of our listeners that like it. I have Secretary of War Stimson's diary, where he said he went to the White House on the 25th of November and met with the President and Admiral Stark and General Marshall, and they were told that the Japanese are going to attack. It's only a matter of time. We anticipate they'll probably attack next weekend. And of course, the one thing is, how are we going to get the end of the war and get the Japanese fire the first shot? Now, Paul Bremer would make you believe that this was all bumbling, that we had no idea that Pearl Harbor attack was going to come. And he's writing this report in the year 2000, talking about the coming terrorist attack on America. And although he doesn't say that, the technique that's going to be used, it's very obvious this was all about. They were explaining to the people out there, the people who read these sort of reports, how they were going to be able to justify them. The most sophisticated nation in the world with the most sophisticated electronics, a nation that can send a man to the moon and a probe to Mars, and we couldn't possibly monitor what was happening in the terrorist movement in America. We had no idea this was going on. And if you don't know that they were on top of this going back to 1988, you need to get the video Jihad in America. Jihad in America. You'll see the FBI film shot in 1988 where they were allowing the terrorists to come to this country from other countries. You don't have to let terrorists into your country to advocate jihad and murder and cutting off arms and legs and blood running in the streets. And they had the videos of it. You'll actually see them in Jihad in America. That's why that film was suppressed. They couldn't let the American people know the truth. And so it was that there was advanced knowledge of the attack on the World Trade Center. And, of course, as you know, Mayor Willie Brown was notified the night before what was going to happen. And the same thing happened in London. We've got the articles out of the New York Times and out of the Wall Street Journal that said that basically the Pakistanis had told them the attack was coming. And instead of increasing security, what did they do? Why, they lowered security. Why would you do something like that? And then just one other point I want to make, because we've got Jeannie on the line, is that it's amazing that they were able to coordinate those four bombs and that all the people with the bombs blew themselves up, and yet they left two bombs with cell phone igniters. So why didn't they use the cell phone igniters? Why did they blow the people up? Or maybe they didn't know they were going to be blown up. But this is very sophisticated, and these people really knew how to make bombs. And just 2 weeks later, they'd forgotten how to make the bombs, and they made four bombs, and all that went off was a blasting cap. Now, how could they have been so efficient on July the 7th and so inefficient 2 weeks later? It was almost as if this was more for the psychological effect than to do any damage. It was sort of like the anthrax attack that occurred shortly after the 9-1-1 attack. And you remember, of course, that Dick Cheney knew it was coming, because Dick Cheney, the Vice President of the United States, and his entire staff went on to Cipro, which is an antibiotic that is specifically used for anthrax, on the evening of 9-1-1. And if he suspected, or if he knew the attack was coming, why didn't he tell the other people so that everybody, maybe the people in the post office or elsewhere, could have gotten started on Cipro? The government has large stockpiles of it. Why was it that they didn't tell anybody? Did Dick Cheney know or suspect the attack was coming and leave those others to die? Let's go to Jeannie, who's here, calling in from the Silver Beast. Hi, Jeannie. How are you doing?
Well, I'm real fine. So this is open line.
This is open line, right. You want to talk about something else? You have that right here, that prerogative on open line program.
Well, I was looking at the Monterey County Herald on Sunday, July 24th. And I saw this most nauseating picture. And what it is Bill Clinton clapping his hands with these little children in Rwanda. And he looks so happy, Bill Clinton, and the kids are just kind of got a blank expression on their face. But he has the Clinton Foundation initiative, where he's going to give drugs for HIV, AIDS, to 10,000 children in 10 African countries. Did you happen to come across that article, Dr.?
No, I really didn't, Jeannie. I don't take the Monterey Herald. But
That's a good paper, by the way.
Okay, well, no, I take the Sentinel, I take the Mercury, but you're going to have to read that newspaper and tell me any of the really good articles there. Or clip them out for me.
Yeah, but, I think of Rwanda in 1994 when Bill Clinton was president and Madeleine Albright was in the UN, and they refused to call it a genocide.
Right. In fact, we have an article out of the New York Times where it was said that Bill Clinton ordered the people on his staff, don't use the word genocide in reference to Rwanda, because if you do, that means we would have to intervene. And so they knew that they were slaughtering the Christians there. They knew, first of all, that they had disarmed the people, so they had no means of protecting themselves. There were UN forces there that could have intervened, and they were prevented from intervening, actively prevented. The general there pleaded with Kofi Annan to be allowed to intervene and wasn't allowed to. At that time, Kofi Annan was in charge of the UN forces. He was not yet Secretary General. He was rewarded for his success in Rwanda by being made the Secretary General of the United Nations. But they left those people there to be slaughtered, to be literally hacked to death. And Bill Clinton knew exactly what was going on. And then afterwards, he goes over there with tears in his eyes. And so, if we'd only known what was happening. I want to apologize. We feel so sorry for you. I mean, this man gives hypocrisy a bad name. He really does. And the fact that the American people, so many of them honestly believe in him and believe in Hillary, that is what's frightening to me.
Well, when Bill Clinton went over to apologize, it was a couple of years after, he never even got out of the airplane. He stayed in the airplane. So here, years later, he's over there trying to save the children, where he indirectly killed 800,000 people. And I saw this picture, Dr. Stan, and boy, that got my dander, because here he is clapping his hands, saying he's going to save the children with these drugs for HIV. Also, there's a great book written about the genocide in Rwanda. It's called We Wish to Inform You That Tomorrow We Will Be Killed with Our Families. And it was by a reporter from New York. Excellent, excellent book.
Yes, I have that book.
And you do.
Right, and it is a powerful, powerful story. And I wish everybody could eat that, could read that. In fact, one of the most things that really disturbed me was that he described when he went there, and there were no dogs. And he was so surprised. He went there sometime after, of course, the carnage had stopped. And he asked people, why are there no dogs? And they said, well, there were so many bodies around that the dogs were eating the people and the dead bodies. And once the dogs had, of course, feasted on human flesh, that they would then tend to attack children. So they had to kill all the dogs, because most of them had, you know, eaten human beings.
Yeah, that was really a powerful book. And it describes how Kofi Annan, how there was a fax to him in New York describing what was going to happen. There was going to be a genocide. And he replied that that was not to be even thought about. And so he actually, the head of the United Nations now, Secretary General, he indirectly killed these people in Rwanda. So you can see how evil a lot of these men that are supposedly in power positions. And it just bothers me that we should have such immoral people making decisions for us.
But, Jeannie, we live in an evil world, and the prince of this world is not the God we worship, but certainly Satan himself. And that is this recurrent story in the Bible, and they don't teach this in our churches today. But Satan is the lord of this world, the prince of this world, the prince of darkness. And, you know, there's another wonderful source of information. That's this movie, Hotel Rwanda. It's available on DVD. And if I could recommend to our listeners, get that and watch it several times, because it depicts, I think, very eloquently and very truthfully what happened. It's based on a true story. And you can just almost identify with what was going on there. And yet, Jeannie, today, 3.5 million people have been killed in Zaire. Many of the people who perpetrated the atrocities in Rwanda fled when the Tutsi army came in. And these were the Hutu army. They moved into Zaire. 3.5 million people have died. The war is still raging.
Right.
I mean, there's just total chaos in that country. The United Nations troops went in, and they're raping and pillaging. And even some of them even held a task for raping women there. But you see, we're not hearing about that night after night after night on our television, because they don't want us thinking about that. And then after the war is over, why, they'll begin talking about it. They don't talk about the millions of people who died in Angola. Most of them were Christians. They don't talk about what happened in Rwanda, because most of them were Christians. Many of the people dying in Zaire today are Christians. Isn't it amazing that this is not played over again night after night on night at our television? Could it be that they don't want us to focus our attention on that? They don't talk about what's going on in Zimbabwe, where people are starving today under the regime of Robert Mugabe, who the United States installed in power there, with a promise that if anything ever happens, we will come and we will restore order. Then you can see what we're doing. What a great job we're doing. Henry Kissinger went on television in Rhodesia, called Rhodesia at that time, and promised the people of that country that they could depend on America. He was giving his word as the American Secretary of State. America would stand behind them and never let the country descend into tyranny. And, of course, Henry Kissinger's word. And $5 will buy you a cup of coffee anywhere in America. Henry Kissinger's a liar, and he was the man that George Bush wanted to head the 9-1-1 commission. Why would he take a man like that and want him to determine what happened on 9-1-1? Jeannie, hang on. We'll be back in just a moment here at Radio Liberty and get your thoughts before we let you go. Okay, Jeannie, we've got 3 minutes before I let you go.
Oh, Henry Kissinger, he's another one.
He is the one, of course, who called, I think it's page 194 of Woodward and Bernstein's book, The Final Days, referred to our servicemen as stupid, dumb animals to be used for foreign policy purposes.
Yes.
Stupid, dumb animals. That's what the elite really think of our servicemen. Of course, they say, oh, my goodness, nothing's too good for our servicemen, how wonderful they are. But Bertrand Russell called them cannon fodder, I think was on page 51 of his book, The Impact of Science on Society, and Henry Kissinger thinks they're stupid, dumb animals. And it's about time the American people understand that these are not the people who are fighting the wars. They send our sons overseas to fight and bleed and suffer and die. But their sons aren't going.
Well, I know the military, they don't think much of Henry Kissinger. And when he came over to the United States, Dr. Stan, I wish he would speak clearly. He has a very thick tongue. And I wonder why these people that can't even speak English correctly, why they're in the high positions.
Because he was tied in, of course, to the Rockefeller interests, and the Rockefellers are the ones who really run the things, and he has always been their man representing Rockefeller interests. And of course, very well rewarded. He's on the board of so many important companies with millions of dollars behind him today. And at one time, of course, he was simply penniless, but he's been well rewarded for his betrayal.
Do you think they're grooming Clinton to come in and head the United Nations?
There are many people who think that. We'll just have to wait and see.
Oh,
but
boy.
It's amazing how they could bring him back into prominence and make him acceptable exactly as they did with Richard Nixon. I mean, Richard Nixon designed in disgrace, but they could recreate him. They could reconstitute him again. And suddenly he was a hero when he, at the time he died, a great American president. And this is exactly what they did with Bill Clinton. I think that Richard Nixon had a lot more character and integrity than Bill Clinton did. But both of these men, of course, had betrayed their calling, had lied to the American people. And yet, look how they're building up Bill Clinton today.
Yeah.
And in the same way that they're creating John McCain. Obviously, Senator John McCain is being groomed for a very important position. Have you ever noticed he's on Jay Leno, he's in movies, and every time they've got 100 senators, and who do they go to for comments? They always go to John McCain, the Vietnam traitor, and the men who were with him, in Vietnam considered he was a traitor and gone over to the North Vietnamese and betrayed the rest of them.
I'll save this article for you, Dr. Stan.
God bless you. Thank you so very much, Jeannie.
Bye.
Bye-bye. And so we're going to be back here in just a moment to wrap up this evening's program here at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and our guest, of course, was Don Wiskin, and then, of course, Jeannie was good enough to call in. Next hour, of course, we're going to have Glenn Spencer from American Border Patrol. I can promise you an exciting program. This is the time when I need to remind our listeners that Radio Liberty is primarily listener-supported, and if you're out there and you agree with me that there's a very real problem, we're involved in a spiritual battle for the souls of men. And what energizes Bill Clinton and what energizes so many of the people within the elite like Henry Kissinger and David Rockefeller are the spiritual forces, and whether they know or whether they don't know, but they are being energized by evil. And those of you who have not yet read my June newsletter, we simply quote from the Luciferians who tell you that they're true groups of people, one who know exactly what they're doing, and others who, a second group, whose minds are controlled. You certainly want to get my Occult Hierarchy Part 2 newsletter. We'll be glad to send you one. If you give us a call at 1-800-544-8927, that's 1-800-544-8927, or go up on the Internet at RadioLiberty.com. That's www.radioliberty.com. www.liberty.com and pull down my June newsletter. I think you'll find it fascinating. And we simply quote, not what I believe, but what the Luciferians tell you, that things that come out of the Group of New World Service, which is the front organization for the Lucius Trust, which used to be the Lucifer Publishing House. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, there really are people who worship Lucifer, and they're working at the highest levels of our government today. So, with that as a background, again, the website, radioliberty.com, or if you'd like to get a free copy of the newsletter, that's the June newsletter, or the Occult Hierarchy Part 2. Give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. I do want to mention that we're still working, trying to raise the funding for the 18 stations we'd like to add to the first hour of our network here for our evening program, the 8 to 9 program. And if you'd like to help, if you're capable of helping, or you believe in what we're doing, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927, or you can write to us at Post Office Box 13 in Santa Cruz, 95063. That's Post Office Box 13 in Santa Cruz, 95063. And if we could get that, those 18 stations, and some of these are excellent stations, why, it would increase our outreach all throughout the central part of the United States. And then, of course, it's up to you to tell people about our network, about our programs. As you know, they can listen to our programs on shortwave 4 hours a day. And if you want to know which frequency, the telephone number would be a best place would be go to the website of radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. But if you don't have access, you can call 1-800-544-8927. It's 1-800-544-8927. You can listen to our internet programs 5 hours a day on the internet, and we do hope that many of you will do that. But the biggest thing would be to get other people listening. And they may start out thinking we're crazy, but hopefully before long they'll realize we're not. And we'll be glad to provide the documentation for just about everything we say. Well, really, for everything we say, we have the documents. Sometimes we have trouble finding them, but we have so many of these catalogs where you can actually get the statement by Jacques Cousteau, who talks about the necessity of eliminating 350,000 people a day. That's 350,000 people a day. Or where Bertrand Russell talks about how we just have to have a certain number of people for cannon fodder, or Henry Kissinger quoted as saying, American servicemen are stupid, dumb animals. It's all there. We have the documentation. We'll provide it for you if you need it. And of course, we hope that you will tell others, encourage them to listen to our programs, and help us get the truth out, because we're reaching a critical mass as more and more people are becoming aware. So please pray for America. Pray for revival. Pray for our leaders and our ministers. But please pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection. And so we'll be back here in just a moment or two with the second hour with Glenn Spencer right here at Radio Liberty. Thank you. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers, and of course we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But please hold your calls for the time being, because we're hopefully going to have Glenn Spencer on with us, and we do have some other numbers for them if they have difficulty with the numbers we have. But Glenn is with something called a Border Patrol, or American Border Patrol, and he's been a very successful businessman in the past. And he's foregone his other occupations to try to do something about the unrestricted immigration into this country, which is aimed at changing the very fabric of our society. Changing us from an American society into a multicultural society. From a place where English is the language to a multilingual society. And the people who are doing this know exactly what they're doing. They involve the leaders of both political parties, and they know exactly what they're doing, but they can't tell the American people because they have a different agenda than the average American. In a similar matter, the real reason we're in Iraq cannot be told to the American people. You would not understand what this is about, and if you did understand, why, you would be furious and you would reject these ideas. Now, of course, that's the subject of my July newsletter, which has already been put to bed, and I tell you what the people who planned the war long before George Bush ever became president. George Bush has nothing to do with this. He's simply a figurehead for the establishment. But the real reason for the war in Iraq, that's the July newsletter, and it'll be out here in a couple of weeks. But, you know, the same thing is true with what's happening on the border. We are not trying to stop illegal immigration. We're doing everything we can to encourage illegal immigration. Because the traitors in Washington, D.C., do not believe in America. They want to do away with national borders. When you understand that, everything makes sense. One of the reasons for Iraq is it's a wonderful distraction. And as our attention is focused on the bombings over there, and the carnage, and the death of civilians, Iraqis, and women, and children, and of course we never see the pictures are there, the burned bodies of the children, or the dismembered members of the bodies of the Iraqi women. We just sort of catch fleeting glimpses of this, and they're lying to us about the number of Americans killed. But it's probably twice as many, at least according to Paul Harvey, as we're being told, because they talk about those killed in Iraq, but they never talk about those who die on the planes. And they ship them onto planes and get them out of there as quickly as they can. And they say, well, we told you how many died in Iraq. We didn't tell you all those that died on the way to Wiesbaden in Germany, or who died in Germany. But we wouldn't lie to you. It's a matter of what the definition of is. Don't you understand? We would never tell you anything that isn't true. And that's the number who died in Iraq. Of course, they didn't die in Iraq, but they died as a result of fighting there. But, well, anyway, it's the same thing with what's going on with immigration. And with that as a background, let's go to Glenn Spencer, and let's talk about how they're lying to the American people. They know exactly what they're doing. They just don't want the American people to know. Glenn, are they trying to stop illegal immigration?
No. I'm down on the border right now. They were running through neighborhoods here last night. I talked to some of my neighbors.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment here. Okay, Dr. Stan, and of course our guest is Glenn Spencer from American Border Patrol. He is saying that they're running through the area where he is. He talked to his neighbors, and what did they tell you, Glenn?
Well, they're kept awake all night. Their dogs are barking. One fellow tried to get into this woman's house. She knew who it was. She told her husband to get the weapon. But she went out front and snapped a picture of this guy, and you'd never seen a more frightening and threatening look And this guy, he was a fellow from Mexico, was in this woman's front yard trying to get into her house, and she snapped his picture. I will tell you that in my judgment, from what I have seen down here, the President of the United States should be impeached.
Well, of course, he should be impeached for many reasons, but he's not going to be. They're not going to allow that sort of thing, at least not right now. Maybe down the line, but you know, when they need another great distraction for the American people.
Well, it is, you know, I've been at this for 13 years.
I know you have.
We have been working the border for 3 years. About a month ago, I decided to take a slightly different tack, and I dusted off my pilot's license, and we were able to get a supporter to help us get a very expensive high-tech camera. And we have started flying the border with this thing. And what it is one of these new cameras that has, you know, these digital cameras like 5 megapixels.
Mm-hmm.
But we've got one that's many more times that. And it's very expensive, and we're able to now fly the border and take pictures of what's going on, including illegal aliens, people, drug deals. This morning, I was flying the border. We have a rental aircraft, and we were returning it, and I said, well, let's just swing by the border on the way back to returning this airplane. And we went by within a mile of my home, right here on the border. I live 1,000 feet north of the border. And we came across two Mexican Army Humvees right on the border with their machine guns stacked up. And they were working there. There were 14 of them doing something. We don't know what it is. They're digging something. They're planting something in the border. We don't know what we have seen these people over and over again, but this camera is so powerful.
Hold that thought right there, because we're going to have to get our other stations right on board. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Glenn Spencer, and Glenn was telling us that he's actually taken to flying again. He hasn't flown for some time, but they're doing a rental plane. They have a very powerful camera, and they were flying along the border now, seeing all the things that are going down. The government could do this, but they don't want to do that because they don't want to stop the illegal immigration. So, but he was saying that this morning, just about 1,000 feet from where his home is on the other side of the border, there were a couple of Mexican military Humvees, and what, about 15 or 16 people with their machine guns and all that?
With their machine guns. I'm going to have a picture of it tomorrow morning on the AmericanPatrol.com website. It's going to be a photo of the day.
Okay.
And you will be, this picture is so powerful. You can see the faces of these soldiers so clearly. You can tell who it is. You can identify them.
Well,
you can see their weapons. Now, I'm just mentioning this. They're 50 feet south of the border. This is about the fifth group of Mexican soldiers we have seen just flying along just casually doing something on the border. They're all over. The Mexican military is all over the border.
What do you think they're doing?
We don't know.
I think, you know, it's so interesting, though, that we know that they have satellites. And with those satellites, they can read a license plate. They can read a newspaper from outer space. With a tremendous, definition that they have on these satellites. But, we just can't get pictures of those illegals coming into our country. Now, we have the most amazing technology. The truth is, they could stop it tomorrow if they wanted to. They do not want to stop it. But they're not going to tell the American people that, because that would mean that these people in Washington, D.C. are traitors.
That is correct. And Dr. Stan, this is why I am doing this. When you go back and you look at the photo of the day and click back through the last, 15 days, where I've been flying the border, you're going to see some stunning, stunning photographs. And the reason I'm doing this is exactly what you just said. I'm just flying myself. I'm a very experienced pilot. I'm an instrument-rated, multi-engine-rated. I've been flying for years. But I went back and renewed my license at my advanced age and decided to go out and do it myself. And so, but I am, and I'm in excellent health, so it wouldn't let me fly if I wasn't. But what we have seen, the reason I'm doing it is to show that that our government has the technology to see these people. They have the UAVs. We have a UAV, Border Hawk. The problem we have with it was too small to get a really powerful camera in it. And to make a bigger one, put enough of power, they wouldn't let us fly because it would be too big. So I had to go to a regular airplane. I hope this doesn't sound too complicated. But anyway, the reason I'm doing this is to prove beyond the shadow of a doubt that our government has the technology to find each and every person crossing that border and to stop them. But they don't want to. They don't want to. And the president just came out with his new border initiative. And in essence said that. They want to have what everybody has seen. It does not make any sense to come up with any guest worker program until you can control the border. Because you can't control the border, nothing will work. Well, he has just come out and turned that logic on its head. He's now got Dick Armey and a bunch of other henchmen out saying, oh, well, you really can't control.
You're cutting out, Glenn. Okay. Is there any way you can get onto a regular telephone, or just because your cell phone's cutting out on it?
Oh, okay. Well, he can try that other line again. 0131. I'm in a different room now. It might work.
All right, fine. Well, I'm going to get. We'll get 01. Is that 266
three,
or 366?
366
0131. Okay. Yeah. I have 32, but 31. Okay.
Either one. 31 or 32.
All right, fine. I'm going to ask our producer if he wouldn't mind just trying that other telephone number.
Okay,
I'm going to let you off, and then if not, why we'll call you back on this line. Okay.
All right.
God bless. And that's Glenn Spencer. And, you know, here's Glenn. He's able to get up there and fly over the border and get all of these pictures. Understand that we have the most amazing technology. They can track your every movement. If you have a cell phone, they know exactly where you are at any time that cell phone's turned on. If you have a car, there are markers in many cars so that they can track automobiles. But even more than that, they can see people from outer space. And they can track people from outer space. And we know that they were doing that with Osama bin Laden. In fact, they were doing that with a Predator airplane. It was an unmanned plane. Of course, they could have killed him at any time before 9-1-1, but since he'd been on the CIA payroll, and what did they say? One CIA, always CIA. Well, there was no reason to do that. They had 11 different opportunities at least to take out Osama bin Laden, and they absolutely refused to do that. And they have to ask yourself, why would that be? And maybe that's the same reason we can't find Osama bin Laden now. In fact, recently, Porter Goss, the head of the CIA, was asked, you know, what about Osama bin Laden? You know where he is? And Porter Goss's response was, yes, next question. And, of course, the reporters pressed him. Where is he? Well, we can't tell anybody. It would be very sensitive. Could be an international incident. What do you mean we're giving billions of dollars to Pakistan? If Pakistan's got him, we ought to be able to, just demand that they turn him over. We give him $2 or $3 billion a year. The least they could do is give us Osama bin Laden. And, of course, the truth of the matter is I don't believe he's in Pakistan. I believe he's been in Iran all along. And they know that. Because who brought the Ayatollahs to power? We brought him to power back in 1979, and don't you ever forget it. We toppled the Shah, and we brought the Ayatollahs to power. This is we toppled Batista in Cuba, and we brought Fidel Castro to power, but we can't tell the American people that. They probably wouldn't understand. Well, let's get back with Glenn Spencer, and we've got him on the line here. Hi, Glenn. How's that?
Much better.
Oh, thank you so much. Well, anyway, Glenn is flying that border and getting pictures, and they're up on the website. And what's that website again?
AmericanPatrol.com.
Okay, fine.
So I'm going up every day, seeing what's happening. I was in California on Saturday, flew out there for the Minuteman Project, and we have pictures of those Minutemen along the border in California. We also have pictures of the Mexican nationalists, Enrique Morones and his Mexican nationalists, who were also down on the border, to help get the Mexicans across.
Now, why isn't Vicente Fox, you know, our strong ally, doing something to stop the illegal immigration?
Well, he's doing everything he can to increase it.
Well,
Mexico is invading the United States with hostile intent. The President of the United States knows it, and he is committing, in my judgment, an act of treason by not resisting the invasion of the United States by a hostile power, but by encouraging it. You know, during the Clinton administration, and he was just as bad, the head of the INS was named Doris Meissner. She ran the Immigration and Naturalization Service. And as you know, I've been working this problem 18 hours a day, 7 days a week for 13 years. And I watched Doris Meissner, and I said at the time, this is 10 years ago, I said, this woman is a traitor. She is subverting the laws of the United States deliberately, destroying and emasculating the law enforcement of the Immigration and Naturalization Service. And I said it, and I posted it on my website, AmericanPatrol.com. You can go in and do a search on that. You can prove to yourself that I nailed this woman many, many years ago. Now, where is Doris Meissner and what is she doing? Her latest caper is as a member of a board of directors for the Council for Foreign Relations that has just proposed opening the border permanently with Mexico within 5 years.
And I think for our listeners out there, that's the Council on Foreign Relations. It is America's invisible government. It is the front for Cecil Rhodes Secret Society. We've talked about it many times. And they've come up with a wonderful plan. And that is to unite Mexico and Canada and the United States. And that way we just have to guard the southern border of Mexico.
Let Mexico guard their southern border. They would defend the United States. Mexico, which is an enemy of the United States. And this woman wants to turn our security over to Mexico.
And of course, what they really want, of course, is to flood this country with people with a different culture and a different language. This is not racist. This is what it's all about. And they really want to create racial unrest in this country and increase violence and, of course, increase violence and lawlessness. What's the solution? Why, more government police power over the lives of the American people. You create the problem, but you always have a solution.
Well, you know, David Sheehy just published a book called "The Immigration Fighting the Immigration Anarchy," and it is an anarchy. It's lawlessness, and according to the definition of anarchy, it's lawlessness usually created by the failure of a government. And so we have created an immigration anarchy, lawlessness in the United States. And our government has done it deliberately.
And I think it's so important. This is not a failure. This is done intentionally and maliciously. And it's been funded in large part by the Ford Foundation.
That's correct.
Why would the Ford Foundation fund that? Well, why would Henry Ford have built the motor plant in Gorky for the communists and then helped Adolf Hitler? And he's justified in helping Adolf Hitler because he was anti-communist. And, of course, it was Ford who built the motor plant in Gorky that is still turning out Ford trucks for the communists. There's something wrong with the whole picture.
Under Doris Meissner, the man who was in charge of policy and planning, remember, she was the head of the INS, the one who's just proposed dissolving the border. She was in charge of protecting and enforcing our borders under Bill Clinton. She just proposed dissolving the border. Under her, the man in charge of policy and planning, setting policy and planning for the entire INS, is Dr. Robert Bloch. And what did he do before he got that job? He worked for the Ford Foundation.
Gee, what a coincidence.
7 years. And I noted this, I documented this in my video, Conquest of Aztlan.
Hold that thought right there. Then we'll be right back. We'll invite your calls right here at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan, our guest Glenn Spencer from American Border Patrol. And Glenn was just saying that certainly the person who was working under number two people or policy director under this woman who was head of the INS under Clinton, who is now with the CFR, incidentally. But the man beneath her, who was the major organizer of this whole thing, was it Dr. Bloch, who had worked for the Ford Foundation?
Robert Bloch, B-A-C-H. And he worked for the Ford Foundation for 7 years on immigration policy. And he came in and dismantled immigration law enforcement under the direction of Meisner and Clinton.
Well, we know
I have many hours of tapes of him being interviewed and queried testifying before committees of the House of Representatives headed up by Lamar Smith, in which Smith says, well, we've just essentially dissolved our borders. And he goes after Bach, and I have this in my tape, and you can see him sitting there, this Robert Bach, this unctuous little, I don't want to say.
No, don't say it. This is a family program.
Yes. so he is sitting there essentially saying, well, the function of law enforcement is to protect people's rights. And that's what I'm here to do, is protect people's rights. So he was there to protect the rights of those who are invading the country of the United States of America. And I have hours and hours of this stuff where Border Patrol agents just recently retired were testifying again in Congress saying that Bach was essentially destroying the Border Patrol. And he was. And, you know, we had a meeting here 5 years ago in Sierra Vista. I held a meeting called Illegal Immigration, What Can Citizens Do? And it was about 400 people. And some of the people who were here were the Cochise County Sheriff, a member of the Board of Supervisors, ranchers and farmers, and highly respected people. And there was a rumor going about that a member of the Ku Klux Klan had been here. Well, that's all the media wrote about. And then, you know what happened? Doris Meisner issued an officer safety bulletin out of the INS warning that groups such as ours might try to kill a Border Patrol agent and blame it on illegal aliens. Can you believe this? Yeah. I have a copy of the document.
Well, of
people
course.
Don't believe it. I have this document.
Well, these people were stupid nothing. I mean, these people give a dishonesty a bad name.
That's right. And she was attacking some of the greatest and most loyal Americans and impugning them and suggesting that we would go out and kill a Border Patrol agent and blame it on illegal aliens.
Well, it's sort of like George Bush suggesting that the Minutemen who were down there risking their lives were, the word I think he used was vigilantes.
Vigilantes.
Why would the President of the United States, a Christian president, call people patriots who are guarding our border vigilantes? That word has a bad connotation. Like the people who go out and hang people, innocent people.
Well, it came from the old Wild West where they used to hang horse thieves, you know, the vigilante movement. And that's what it meant to the old Wild West. But these people, these Minutemen who came out here, were exemplary in their performance and of their duties and their adherence to the rule of law. Unlike our government, that is lawless, these people were disciplined, of loyal Americans doing the job that our government won't do, and that is observing and reporting and working to stop the wholesale invasion of our country, and the president insults them, just like Doris Meisner insulted all of the immigration activists.
Hold that thought right there, Glenn. We'll be right back here. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Glenn Spencer, American Border Patrol, and our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But Glenn was saying that one time, 4 or 5 years ago, they had a meeting there, and he had about 400 people attend, some of the really prominent people locally, and the rumor was put out, obviously, by the people who hate America, that there was somebody from the Klan there, and then the woman who was in charge of the INS put out a written directive, saying that a Glenn's group might very well try to kill, or some similar group might try to kill a Border Patrol agent and blame it on the illegal immigrants. In other words, obviously discrediting his effort. And then we sort of talked about how the President of the United States had demeaned the patriots in the militia movement who were down there guarding our border at their own expense because they were concerned about the illegal immigration. And the President of the United States demeaned these people with that word vigilante. It would be like calling him a racist. I mean, the president would be incensed if he was called a racist or a bigot. And yet that's what he was basically calling the Minutemen. Why would he do a thing like that? These people are just concerned about the integrity of our country.
Well,
does the president have a different agenda?
Yeah. See, he's so afraid he's going to be exposed. This is what is going on. You know, I as I said, I'm a pilot, and for 2 years we flew a small unmanned aerial vehicle of Border Hawk to show that it can be done, to show that our government has the technology. The president was then pressed during the debate last October. The question came up about illegal immigration, and he said, "Oh, we're using the unmanned vehicles to spot people coming across the border, and we're going to continue to use them for the next 4 years." He lied. I go up and I fly, and I work with the radar controller at the Libby field where these UAVs are based, and I can hear them talking to these controllers of these UAVs as they keep the traffic and the other kinds of airplanes separate. The UAVs are flying all the time with the Army and the Marine Corps in training, but they do not use them on the border to spot illegal aliens.
Are you suggesting that the president didn't tell the truth?
He did not tell the truth. He continues to lie and dissemble. I had one of the UAV instructors at a Fort Huachuca, which is right where they base these things. He said the reason they don't use this technology is they don't want you to know that they know where all of these people are. And, your audience and I don't know, that they just have to understand that this is real. Your president is lying to you. He is going about to dissemble your country and essentially turn you into a slave.
Well, don't you think that maybe George Bush really doesn't know what's going on? I'm sure the people around him do, but don't you think that, maybe he's just being told what to say by Dick Cheney and Karl Rove and a few of the other people who surround him?
Interesting. During the debate, when he brought up the UAV, he made the point of saying, and this is something I know quite a bit about. I'm just telling you, this may seem a little arcane to your audience, but I go up every day and can listen to these radar operators talking to the Hunter operators. You know, Hunter 401, turn right, heading 210 degrees, stay clear, for traffic separation, and I can go into all the jargon. But they're flying these Hunters on training missions, and the reason I'm flying my airplane is to show what a powerful camera could do up there. They have them, they have these cameras, they have the airplanes, they have balloons. They have the technology to save all these lives that people are dying in the desert. They refuse to use it because they want to let these people come in, and they'll allow certain of them to die in the desert so that others can get through.
Well, you commented that somebody had told you that one reason they weren't flying is because they knew where the people were already?
No, they know where they're crossing.
Okay, they know where they're crossing.
But they know they could fly right over and look down and see them. And the problem they have is that they don't have enough people to go apprehend them. So if they were looking around and seeing them, a report would be made somewhere, because they can't, you can't get a conspiracy going with so many people and have it successful. Eventually somebody's going to leak. So they're so afraid of leaks that the truth will come out that they just won't fly them at all.
Oh, no, couldn't they just deputize? Wouldn't there be enough people who would act as deputies to protect our border if the government doesn't have the troops or the men to do it? Couldn't it be done?
Sure they could. They could use the local police. They could use the tribal police here on the reservation. They could do it. They just don't want to. The American people have to understand that this government is out to destroy the United States of America.
Well, it's doing
about to destroy it.
It's doing a pretty good job.
Yes,
we're on the verge of an economic collapse. I believe terrorist attacks are going to pick up. Of course, we have a society where we're turning one group against another. They know exactly what they're doing. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here with Radio Liberty. Our guest this evening is Glenn Spencer, American Border Patrol, and in just a moment or two, we're going to tell you how to get hold of Glenn, but we'll wait till we have all of our stations back on board. However, if you are out there and you have a question for Glenn, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. That's 464-8295. And Glenn's contention is, and I agree with him, that the people in Washington, D.C., who lead both political parties, have no intention of guarding our borders. Now, there are many reasons for this. They want a multicultural society. They want a multilingual society. They want to be able to play one group against the other. They really want to do away with the idea of national sovereignty, and this is a stepping stone along the way to doing that. Then, of course, as we have increasing chaos and crisis in our society, and more people are out of work, we have a financial downturn, we're going to have an awful lot of people who aren't going to have jobs, who are not going to be able to buy food. And they're going to be increasing social unrest. And what's the solution? Why, a new series of federal laws to take away the freedom from the American people. Pick up the story from there, Glenn.
Well, Dr. Quinn, I have sort of given up trying to figure out why these people are doing this. All I know is they are, and they must be stopped. They must be stopped. And the reason I came to the border was I believe that the simplest way that the American people have is to take direct action. That's why I was so encouraged by the Minutemen group. I believe that this September, there's going to be a major press on the border. We're going to be supporting the Minutemen. We're trying to rig an airplane up with a really advanced system so that we can feed live pictures of what the border action right out over the internet, like we were doing with our little UAV. But these would be fantastic. I mean, if we can, so we're supporting the Minuteman Project. I think Americans have to now take the situation. They have to take over. They have to assume. They have to understand that the government is lawless, and that if we're going to save the country, we're going to have to take direct action to do so. And the most legal way, in my judgment, and the easiest way to do this is to come right to the border, just as the Minutemen did.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back here. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and our guest this evening, Glenn Spencer from Border Patrol, and he is saying that he thinks that the only way that we're going to solve this is for the good American people to go down and get involved on the border, because the government has no intention of stopping the illegal immigration because they don't believe in borders. They don't believe in national sovereignty. They have a different agenda. Well, before we go on, Glenn, let's go ahead and get your telephone number and your website out there so people can get in touch with you and keep track of what you're doing.
Oh, yeah. Our phone number is very simple. It's 1-800-600-VOICE. 1-800-600-VOICE. And, the website, or two of them, are strident. Political website is AmericanPatrol.com. Our nonprofit website is AmericanBorderPatrol.com.
Okay, that's
AmericanPatrol.com. And American Border Patrol.
All right, and which one can we see the films on?
Well, you can see the pictures on AmericanPatrol.com. We have a little feature called Photo of the Day, and you go in and look at that, and you see some of the things that we have seen along the border, and we're just getting good at it, okay? We can spot illegals. We took a picture down in a deep arroyo just south of the border again, near my home, and I didn't notice it at first. But here was this guy down there, and we zoomed in with this. When we brought it back, we can zoom in because of the high resolution. We can use the computer. And there was a machine gun. More than one.
Now, these must be military people.
Well, we don't know. We couldn't tell. The ones that did have the machine guns that I saw this morning, those were definitely Mexican military.
Now, why would there be all the Mexican military activity on our border? Do you have any idea?
We don't know. They're not patrolling. They're doing something. You can see they've got a shovel out. One of my guys that that flies with me said that they, you see their machine guns stacked up, okay? He says, well, they do that to keep them out of the dirt. That's when they're doing some kind of duty, some kind of physical work. So they have their machine guns. You can still see this stacked up, okay? And they've got a shovel down there. And we've noticed that they're digging in the ground. The Mexican military is doing something, putting something in the ground. We don't know what it is. But they're all along the border doing this.
Okay, well, I think they're probably...
You don't know what they're doing.
I think they're probably up to no good. I would probably make that statement anyway. Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or, if you're here in the Central Coast of California, at 464-8295. That's 464-8295. If you're concerned about what's happening on our border, if you're concerned about maintaining our sovereignty, if you're concerned about the fact that we are really destroying the culture of this society, because they know that once you have a multilingual society, and I have to admit I'm very irritated every time I put a call into some government agency, and they say, do you want this message in English or in Spanish? Why Spanish? Because they're encouraging this whole thing. And until you understand that what's happening is not accidental, it's intentional, you're going to remain confused when you understand that they know what they're doing. That's why they're actually giving people who are here illegally extra low charges, tuition at our state universities. In fact, if you are here in the United States illegally and you have violated our laws and you have simply flaunted the sovereignty of our nation, you'll get cheaper tuition at a university in California or a college in California than if you were an American citizen coming in from Nevada, and there's something wrong with this picture. Now, Glenn, my understanding is that Arnold Schwarzenegger had said some good things about the militia, and he was just immediately attacked and vilified and demonized by the entire press here in California. Is Arnold now supporting the Minutemen, or is he, of course, doing what the media wants, and that is attacking them?
Oh, they shut him down right now. He is finished. When he said that, he's a dead duck in California. And California is a dead state, but they'll sacrifice that. They're going against him. They've turned against him and all of his initiatives. He's...
It's amazing how they're using the courts to thwart the will of the people. I mean, the people want, of course, to re-regulate electricity, or at least the opportunity to vote on it, and they're not about to allow that. The judges say, oh, no, it's unconstitutional to have an initiative to determine whether or not we should re-regulate electricity. And, of course, Arnold's effort to, redistrict the state so we could get the representative government, they don't want representative government. They want fascist control here. And they use the courts to say, oh, this petition signed by 900,000 people is invalid because we say it's invalid.
That's correct. They will use any means necessary.
And the people
will have this process.
And we saw that with Prop 187, voted on overwhelmingly by the people here in the state of California, and then held up by the courts, Gray Davis came in, and he, as the chief executive here in the state of California, was supposed to uphold the law, but he didn't like the law, so he just refused to enforce it.
Well, that's right. As I documented in my documentary, two of them, he made a deal with the president of Mexico to keep it out of the courts. He essentially walked over to the Court of Appeals and grabbed the file. And now he set up this sham mediation. In other words, the people passed this initiative, and immediately it was challenged in the courts by the Mexican-American legal by the Mexicans. And they got one judge, Mariana Feltzer, after 4 years to make a decision that she could have made in 4 days, she decided it was some parts of it were unconstitutional. And it's the responsibility of the governor to defend the people of the United of California. It is his obligation to test it in the courts because it was the will of the people.
that he don't believe in the will of the people. They have their own agenda, and that's what people don't understand.
So he made a deal. The president of Mexico came into California. They had a meeting. They said, well, we can't have this. This could be found constitutional. So he marched over, essentially, to the Court of Appeals of the Ninth Circuit and grabbed the file so that they wouldn't rule on it. Now, this is not made public. People don't understand what really happened. Even supposedly knowledgeable conservatives say it was killed by the courts. It was not. It was killed by Mexico.
Right.
It was killed by Mexico.
And, of course, the idea that we have a representative government is simply part of the sham. You can vote for an initiative. And of course, they will just simply not allow it to be taken to the Supreme Court to determine whether it's legal or not. They will tie it up in the courts. And as long as you have somebody like Gray Davis in, or you have the people there in Sacramento, they don't represent the people. That's why they fear that they'll redraw the district so we could have representative government.
Yeah, absolutely.
They don't want representative government. Let's go to Keith, who's calling us from Capitola. Hi, Keith. How are you doing?
I'm good, Doctor. How you doing?
I'm doing just great.
Great. And, Glenn, I really appreciate the work you guys are doing down there. I'd like to join you guys for a couple missions you guys are on and give you a hand. But I wanted to kind of make a statement. It's like, don't you look at this as kind of like a war against America? And basically, in your documentary, Conquest of Aztlan, the Mexican nationals have come over and said, outright, this is war.
Right.
Basically, like you look at it, the definition of war is like you send a foreign force inside another country, and you take over their natural resources, and basically that's what they've done. We've been overrun by, you know, our schools, our healthcare system, our roads. We'd be paying, you know, we're paying twice as much for gasoline as we'd be paying if, you know, all those illegals weren't here, but absolutely our whole infrastructure has been overrun. And
do you know a better way to destroy a nation?
Pardon?
Do you know a better way than to destroy a great nation?
No, that's one day it just dawned on me. I was at work one day, and I was thinking about a couple of your programs you were talking about, and like I got to Glenn's websites as often as I can, and it's one day it just dawned on me. But basically, I'm just saying, this is, a war, and they're just coming into the country without having to fire a shot and taking over everything the people of this country have worked for and died for the last couple hundred years, and like the politicians are just giving it away.
Well, let's go to Glenn. Glenn, how would you respond to what Keith was saying?
It is absolutely true. Who was one of the leaders and engineering the killing of Prop 187. His name was Antonio Villaraigosa. He was the Speaker of the California Assembly. And in August of 1999, the LA Times carried a front-page, full-color picture above the fold of Antonio Villaraigosa next to the President of Mexico. They were clapping their hands, applauding the decision by Gray Davis to kill Proposition 187. Where is Antonio Villaraigosa today? He is the mayor of Los Angeles.
So we've lost Los Angeles. Well, maybe they just won't come up north of Santa Barbara, and we'll be all right, Keith.
Well, he is moving in people, the former special counsel, a legal counsel, for the Mexican-American Legal Defense and Education Fund. MALDEF is now one of his principal staffers. He is moving in the Reconquistas. You have lost Los Angeles and essentially Southern California. And you won't get it back without bloodshed.
And I think you're absolutely right. Anything else, Keith? Keith?
We're here in the middle of... I'm here in Santa Cruz, too. And, like, I'm in construction. And, like, 85-90% of the jobs in construction have been taken over by Mexicans.
Right.
And when I started 30 years ago, there wasn't one Mexican in the trade. Now it's 85-90% of the people. And these aren't agricultural jobs, you know, low paying. These are good paying jobs. And like I say, you see what's the next generation going to look like?
Well, the next generation is going to be impoverished and in slavery, because that's what happens when one generation really isn't concerned about the future.
And like you're saying, too, it's like we've lost L.A. and San Diego and everything else. Like I said, Schwarzenegger's gone. And, like, you know that Sacramento's gone next. There's a Bruce DeMonte who's going to be the next governor.
Heaven help
us. Where are we going to be then?
Well, Keith, your job is to get people listening to our program, not just wringing our hands, but do what Glenn is doing. He's doing something positive. We're doing something positive here, and your job is to get people educated, get them listening to our program. Remember, you can't sell life insurance till you can convince people they're going to die, and you can't get people involved in this process and then trying to save America unless they realize they're going to lose America, and they're going to lose their future and their freedom and their families and maybe their lives. Thanks so much for calling, Glenn. Yeah. And Keith, bye-bye.
Thank okay. you both. God bless you.
Bye-bye. God bless you, too. And we have another caller here, and we'll have him on the line in just a moment. It looks like we have Bob, and Bob is calling from Albany. Okay, is that Albany, New York?
Yes, it is, Dr. Stan.
Okay, do you have a question for our guest?
Yes, I do. I was telling Kevin there, your screener, that I just got into bed. I was going to put on the next hour and go to sleep to it, and I heard the show come on, and basically I jumped up and ran down to the phone in my shop, and I had to call you.
Oh, well, we appreciate that. For our listeners back there across America, why, Bob is listening in Albany, New York, and of course that's midnight there, so go ahead. It's almost 1 o'clock. Go ahead.
Oh, yes. Your guest had mentioned something about Mexicans digging emplacements along our border, and I was just wondering, is that on our side of the border or theirs?
It's what just inside, just a few feet south of the border, right along the border. We don't know what it is, but we've seen them along a 200-mile stretch of the border. We have many photographs of armed, heavily armed Mexican troops out working, doing something, have their weapons stacked up, and they're doing something. We don't know what it is. But they're burying something in the ground. It might be sensors. It might be, we don't know.
And I'm sure our government does know, but they're not going to tell us, because we wouldn't want Osama bin Laden to know what's going on. Go ahead, Bob. Anything else?
Oh, yes, because you had mentioned the fact that, I voted for George Bush twice. And when you said that...
Shame on you.
I know. Well, the lesser of two evils.
When you vote for the lesser of two evils, you're still voting for evil.
Exactly. But, I've been saying the last couple of months that he's committing treason, and when I heard your guest say he's committing treason, I said, yes, I have to talk to this man, because he's right on.
Right.
George Bush is honoring his oath to the skull and bones and the Luciferians before his oath to the Constitution of the United States of America, and the American people do not understand that.
You know, Dr. Stan, I was on... John Kasich from the Heartland, MSNBC, before the war started. I was a guest. And I had the opportunity opened up to me, and I told Kasich and a few million people, before the war started, I said, here we are, going halfway around the world to attack a country that is no direct threat to us, while at the same time, every night, thousands of people invade the United States from a country who believes this is their land. Now, I was opposed to the war. I have some military background as an operations research guy in the Pentagon. I worked on the Vietnam War for the Joint Chiefs of Staff. I have some expertise in that area. And when we attacked Iraq, they were nothing. They had no ability to harm anyone. Their army had been destroyed. Their air force. We were overflying two-thirds of their country. We had 3,000 cruise missiles pointed at his nose.
And we did bomb them 3 or 4 times a week for 10 years.
Knocking out their... they were under scrutiny. Had he launched a pop gun across the border, he would have been annihilated. He was absolutely no threat, even if he had weapons of mass destruction packed to the gunnels, which, of course, he had none. Even if he did, he would never dare to even try to use one because he knew the consequences. He himself would be destroyed. And so our government knew that. They knew this. This whole thing was fabricated.
Right.
And we were lied to, and tens of thousands of people had been killed, and almost 2,000 American soldiers, and many more have been wounded and maimed because of this nutcase in the White House.
Now, of course, I believe that, George Bush is simply a figurehead for some other very wicked and evil people. And I think the war was planned long before George Bush ever got into the White House, because we want to keep our troops permanently stationed in the Middle East. But we can't tell the American people that, because they don't understand geopolitics. They have to feel that, we're somehow threatened. That's the only way that they're going to go along with what's going to happen. Hang on, we've got to be back here in just a moment. Well, Bob, did you have anything else you wanted to say before we let you get back to sleep there?
I was just thinking about what he was saying about Iraq.
Right.
I mean, in a sense, I mean, they were funding terrorist bombers into Israel through
the
PLA.
Right. Right. So at least that's what they tell us. That's part of the justification for going over there and killing all those women and children.
Well, I certainly don't want to see any, you know, loss of innocent life, but...
Remember that we financed Saddam Hussein all during the 1980s. Aren't the people who financed this wicked man who had committed all these horrible atrocities against his own people, that used poison gas on the Kurds and may have killed up to 100,000 of them, and used poison gas on the Iranians, aren't the people who financed him with billions of dollars and gave him the wherewithal to build the chemical and bacteriological weapons, aren't they somehow somewhat responsible?
Oh, yes, that's the game of the New World Order.
Right.
They make money off of war and carnage and death.
Right. And, of course, really, the goal of the New World Order is a New World Order. And the byproduct of that is money is simply a byproduct. But the real goal is the destruction of America. Anything else? Glenn, do you have any comment at all? Because we're almost out of time.
I hadn't heard, you know, I had seen no evidence that Iraq had been financing terrorists or whatsoever. I've never seen anything that would... withstand any scrutiny.
Well, they were told that he was giving money to the Palestinians who blew themselves up.
They were supporting their families.
Right.
But I would say that the invasion of Iraq has created more terrorism worldwide than anything that we have done. Certainly, yes, it did not create terrorism, but it certainly gave them a better target. And motivated now, we have a worldwide Islamic revolution, which we're going to be living with for many, many years.
I think we're in real trouble, Bob. But thank you so much for calling, and you keep listening back there, and get your friends to listen too, will you?
All righty, sir.
Good night.
Have a good night.
Bye-bye. And we got a 50,000 watt station back there in Albany that carries us. Well, Glenn, we've got about 40 seconds to wrap up the program.
Well, I've been at this many, many years, and Dr. Stan, you have been right all of these years, because I've been talking with you, and you and others have been right about this. I made the decision that we have to make a stand somewhere, and that's why I came to the border. That's why I'm supporting the Minutemen. I believe that America has to make a stand. I'm doing it here. Come on to AmericanPatrol.com or American Border Patrol. Get a hold of us. We'll let you know how you can participate.
And help Glenn. He's worthwhile. He's one of the few people out there on the front lines of this battle. He's doing it because he believes. And I believe in him as well. Good night. God bless you, Glenn.
Good night. God bless.
Bye-bye. All right. That's Glenn Spencer of AmericanBorderPatrol.com. Well, Dr. Stan, that's American Patrol or American Border Patrol. You won't go wrong with either one of them. And Glenn, of course, his telephone number is 1-800-600-VOICE. 1-800-600-VOICE, and he is a voice for sanity in a world gone mad. So then, of course, we do hope that many of you, as well as helping Glenn, will want to consider helping Radio Liberty. Because we're on the front lines of the battle, and we have to buy... We don't buy expensive planes. We buy the radio time, and we have to buy time on radio stations across America. But I believe radio is the most cost-efficient means of reaching the great masses. And through the miracle of Internet, through the miracle of shortwave, and then, of course, being on stations across America, we're getting people who didn't know there was a problem to begin to connect the dots and understand that the name of the game is treason. We have people who have no loyalty to America, but to this dream of a new world order and a new world religion, and behind that are dark and sinister spiritual forces that energize these people knowingly or unknowingly. they're doing the work of the Prince of Darkness, the Prince of this world. Well, we do have an opportunity, as I've mentioned before, to add 18 stations to the first hour of our evening program. It's going to be an expensive proposition, but certainly it's an amazing opportunity. And if there's any way you can help us, we'd love to hear from you. Our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. And if you'd like to help or you have any suggestions, why would really appreciate hearing from you, please tell others about our program. Go to our website at radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. And there, of course, you can listen to our programs on the Internet directly or indirectly on the other networks on the 5 hours a day, on the American Freedom Network, on Genesis Network, on Radio Liberty, on RBN, and on Soundwaves 2000. And I may be missing some others, but those are the Internet sites that we can be heard on during the day or in the evening. We have a short wave, 4 hours a day. Our website is www.radioliberty.com. That's www.radioliberty.com. If you really want to understand who rules the world, you'll want to go to our website and pull down my May and June newsletters. The Occult Hierarchy, Part 1. The Occult Hierarchy, Part 2. You can go up on Google and, of course, go to the Occult Hierarchy, and you'll actually find out there are organizations, the Theosophists, and there are ancillary organizations who talk about the occult hierarchy that rule the world and the plan. And they have a capital P. We're not simply imagining these things. You're only paranoid if you imagine people are against you. There really are people out there who are against us, that hate America, that hate God. And when you understand that, everything begins to make sense. And they will tell you that their leaders, their people are in place. They're working at the highest levels of our government. And again, radioliberty.com, go up on Google, look up the Occult Hierarchy. If you'd like a free copy of either one of those two newsletters and you don't have access to the web, why, of course, you can give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. We'll be glad to send you a free newsletter. And, of course, you're welcome to copy our newsletters off the Internet. And just circulate them out. You're welcome to copy any of the audio tapes or even the programs if you can record them off the Internet. Or if you have any of our audio tapes or videos, of course, we always need financial help. But if you want to copy them and you're not making a profit and getting them out, that's wonderful. I got a call or an email just the other day, a couple of days ago, from a young man in Latvia who had seen my video, The Secrets of the Illuminati. And he was commenting, you know, he always knew something was going on there. He's 18 years old. But now he suddenly understood what was really going on in the world. In Latvia. So somebody over there in Latvia is playing our videos. Information is getting out, shortwave internet, videos, all sorts of means, and you can help us. Because you see, it's really up to you. I can only reach so many people. So in the meantime, please pray for America and pray for revival and our leaders and ministers. But please remember to pray for my ministry, Radio Liberty, for our provision and protection. Until tomorrow at the same time, may the Lord be with you.